I'm Steve Potter, and later on Cityscape, the League of American Orchestras Conference. It's going to be held here in St. Louis. Opera Theater St. Louis is known for its Spring Festival, featuring productions sung in English, accompanied by members of the St. Louis Symphony. And this season includes the world premiere of Champion by Terrence Blanchard, with libretto by Michael Christopher. Grammy-winning jazz composer, bandleader, trumpeter Terrence Blanchard is here, along with mezzo-soprano Denise Graves. They join us now with Opera Theater's General Director Timothy O'Leary, and we welcome you all.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you. Thank you.
Terrence Blanchard, you're a performer. You've composed for film and theater, but nothing quite like this.
Not at all. This is something extremely new for me, but it's been extremely rewarding. It's been a real journey. I mean, you know, I've been talking about Tim, and the whole staff at Opera Theater St. Louis has been amazing in terms of, like, really grabbing me by the hand and, you know, stepping me through the process, having workshops, you know, helping me learn about what it is I need to learn about writing for voice. But then having this cast that we have, you know, is just taking it to another level.
And it's a first for you because, one, you're writing for voice, and two, because it's an opera.
Well, both, yeah. I mean, you know, I'm so used to writing for instruments. Writing for orchestra is not a thing for me anymore. I feel comfortable in that arena. This was very different because of the way the voice operates, you know, how it functions and how unique it is to each individual. So that was a big, big learning process for me. And I remember having a conversation with Denise early on about, you know, her voice and how it works and how it operates, which helped me a great deal in terms of writing things specifically for her.
Well, Denise Graves, is Champion score in any way, has that been a challenge, a new experience for you in some way?
Well, that's the understatement of the century. It's been a tremendous experience, but it's been, in a lot of ways, a great nourishing ground for me because it has really stretched me out of that which I thought I knew and really exposed a lot of weaknesses and strength in terms of musicianship, and really it challenged me to learn to adjust my ear and my whole musical bedrock differently. Mm-hmm. That's been the greatest sort of shift that's happened.
You suspected that going into it, I guess, right?
I guess I didn't really know what I was expecting. I just didn't know in the very beginning. Sometimes it's very difficult, you know, when you sign on to a project and you don't, and the music isn't yet written, and you just don't really know what you're going
to
walk into.
Is it smart to do that, by the way?
I think it's done more often than not, you know, because in this business, to get sort of the cash you want, they have to cast really far in advance. And that's the way I've always done it. The very first opera that I ever did was a world premiere, and I've done quite a lot of them in my career. But this was uniquely different experience. I was telling someone the other day, I was driving in the car and I had the radio on and I was listening to some Rossini and I thought, this sounds weird. That's really strange, you know.
Your whole perspective has changed.
Completely.
Timothy O'Leary, Champion is a commissioned piece and also a collaboration with Jazz St. Louis. What's the backstory on that?
Sure. Well, Jazz St. Louis is our co-commissioner. So we co-commissioned this world premiere, and the two organizations had been speaking about a collaboration for a number of years before I joined Opera Theater of St. Louis. And James Robinson, who's our artistic director, and I were brand new at Opera Theater, and we had a meeting with Gene Dobbs Bradford, who is the executive director of Jazz St. Louis. And we started, you know, wondering about this idea of doing a new American opera in jazz. This idea has existed. There's the Gershwin's Porgy and Bess. There's Scott Joplin's Trima Nisha, which we did several seasons ago. But those are great pieces, and they're sort of dated pieces. And we thought, there needs to be something new that combines sort of this uniquely American idea of putting various forms together and juxtaposing. So we said to Gene Dobbs Bradford, if we could get the greatest living American jazz composer to write, you know, his or her first opera, who would that be?
Gorgeous.
And he said, without hesitating, well, that would be Terrence Blanchard. Mm. And he knew something that we didn't know, which is that Terrence's father had been an amateur operatic baritone. So Terrence sort of had opera in his ears and in his blood.
Maybe he was meant to be then, huh?
You know, on some levels, I think so, you know, because when I started writing for film, you know, one of the things that I've always tried to do is maintain a relationship with my composition teacher, Roger Dickerson, you know, I would call him and I say, hey, man, I have this project. And he would always say the same thing, you know, just trust your training. But one of the things that he talked about early on in my film career speaks heavily to this project in that he said, listen, you're getting experience writing for orchestra. He said, but you're going to be one of the few guys that will have an opportunity to take the language of jazz, the notation, the harmony, the rhythm, the articulations, and notate that in this other arena, you know. And he said, it's something you should really think about. And it didn't really occur to me until these guys called me. And listening to Denise talk, you know, it made me think that I've had the same type of experience because, you know, when I'm sitting down composing this, one of the things I couldn't think of like the way that I normally write for a jazz ensemble. You know, I had to strictly go by what the story was and allow the language of jazz to inform what it is that I was going to write. So that meant that there was a lot of trust that I had to have in my skills and what Michael Christopher wrote in terms of putting the libretto together.
Denise, you play the main character's mother, which I know is an unusual role for you. Not your typical role.
Well, I don't know. You know, this year, all the roles that I've played this entire year have been mothers. You know,
oh,
I
really?
Started off with it's a theme for this for 2013, but we started off with Doug Cuomo's Dell.
Oh, right.
And I was the mother there.
Right.
And
let me ask you, who was, since you're playing the mom, who was Emil Griffith, your son?
Who was he? Well, I guess she referred to him a lot throughout the whole of his life as her baby boy. And I think that no matter how successful one becomes, particularly in the eyes of the parent, you always somehow still remain that. I mean, I think all you have to do is really go home for Thanksgiving and watch the family dynamic and see where you fall in that and the role that you automatically slip into and how you, yes, how you sort of fit into that whole family structure. So for her, and from what it is that we flesh out in the opera itself, he is her baby boy. He is that.
Who happens to be welterweight champion of the world.
Grows up to be a boxer, didn't really want to be a boxer.
No, not, that wasn't his intention. He just sort of, you know, but oftentimes, you know, she left him under the care of one of her cousins, Blanche, who was abusive to him and used to make him hold these center blocks. And oftentimes, as life shows us, something that is meant for or could be meant otherwise turns out to be a great gift and a great blessing in our lives. And so he had this incredible physique. And in the opera, what we show is when his mother re-enters his life because she sort of left all of her children in charge of many different family members. When she re-enters and becomes a part of his life again, and she tries to help him get a job, you know, this old hat maker, Howie Albert, notices right away this incredible physique on this young man and says, this is a fighter. This is what I see here. So he goes on to later become this incredible prize champion, welterweight champion. And she remained his greatest fan. And he said in his life that his greatest fan was his mother and the person that he loved the most. And, you know, she could also always be found ringside yelling and screaming.
There are photographs of her that you can see.
Yeah, with her fist up in the air with these great fancy hats that she always wore and always saying, that's my baby boy, that sort of thing.
We have a recording, and I think there are two, the character Emil, there's a young Emil and the mature Emil, right?
Two characters. There's three.
Three altogether.
Yes, there's a little boy Emil, Emil the fighter, and the elder Emil.
Well, what are we going to hear?
We're going to hear an aria that Terrence wrote that is just stunningly beautiful called What Makes a Man a Man. And to set it up a little bit, Emil Griffith was welterweight champion of the world, and in this moment, he's about to go in to fight a guy named Benny the Kid Perrette, and he's trying to win back the championship. And at the weigh-in of the fight, Benny the Kid Perrette has mocked Emil Griffith for his sexuality, which back in 1962, when this takes place, was just an unimaginable idea that the welterweight champion of the world could be hiding his sexuality, but Emil was. So he is terrified. He has this sort of terrified reaction, and now he's got to go into the ring. And he sings this aria with a text in which he wonders whether love makes a person strong or does it make you weak? And as a prize fighter, that's an important question.
What makes a man? than the man hears. Is it the flesh and bone inside, outside? Is it the skin he wears?
Opera Theatre of St. Louis's world premiere of Champion opens Saturday night, runs through the 30th. We're talking with composer Terrence Blanchard, with mezzo-soprano Denise Graves, and with Timothy O'Leary from the Opera Theatre of St. Louis. Terrence, Champion has gotten national attention, NPR, PBS, The Wall Street Journal. Mm-hmm. In fact, you told Tavis Smiley, this is the first time that you've written something that you saw come to life before your eyes. What do you mean by that?
Mm. Well, whenever I'm writing music, if I'm writing music for my group, that's an artistic statement that we want to make. If I'm writing music for a film, the film is already created, and the tempo of the dialogue is already set. The film is already edited. This is the first time in my life that I created something and literally just watched the characters develop in front of my eyes. From the first read-through, when this cast sat down to just sing, you know, all of the music, it was a very moving thing for me, but to come back like a couple of weeks later and to see them moving around on stage, to see these characters take shape, this story take form in a space where people were moving around, and to see what Denise has done with this character is miraculous, because now it's a story to me. It's not music, and it's gone well beyond something that I've written, in my mind at least. It's taken on its own life, and it's the first time that I've seen that. I've talked to two director friends of mine who are working on projects, and I told them, I said, now I kind of feel what you guys feel, you know, when you take a script and then set it to picture.
Yeah, what's it been like working with the opera folk? And Denise, you too, working with the jazz combo, is that new for you?
This particular experience is new. I did a project some years ago with Chucho Valdez, and I worked with some jazz pianists, and we created some original pieces for a CD. But this is very, very, very different, to have to play a character, real-life character, in the opera setting itself, which is a real collaborative art form. So it's very, very different.
Yeah. And I have to say, you know, working with this cast, I'm spoiled. I've been spoiled, because everybody's taking ownership of the piece, and that's the beautiful thing to see. You know, because when you talk to Arthur, you know, Arthur has a certain relationship to Emil. Arthur actually knew who Emil was. He's from the islands, so he has a whole different type of relationship with the character than Aubrey. Aubrey relates to Emil because of his own personal experience. And to see these guys take ownership of these characters has been a real delight for me. And the other thing that's really great is that everybody's encouraging everybody to do their best and to grow along with this project.
And Timothy, we have another piece, and this is toward the end.
Yeah, so the piece just takes us on this incredible journey. It's a very specific story about a boxer who tragically kills his opponent in the ring on live national television and spends the rest of his life wanting to find forgiveness for what he's done, which he never wanted to do. He never wanted to hurt anybody. So there's this moment where Emil Griffith meets the son of Benny the Kid Perrette, Benny Jr., who is now a grown man but was 2 years old at the time of the fight when he lost his father. And Benny Jr. forgives Emil, and Emil forgives himself. And then we hear this choral music called At the End of the Day.
Only you, only me. When the sun dies in the west and the life goes to rest on all the earth, there will be nothing more you can say at the end of the day.
Opera Theatre of St. Louis presents the world premiere of Champion. We're talking with composer Terrence Blanchard, with Denise Graves, and with Timothy O'Leary. There's some rough language, it's a true story, and it's not just about boxing.
No, not at all. I mean, this story is really about forgiveness and redemption, you know, and it's a universal story. I think that's the appeal of the story in my mind. I just happened to be a big boxing fan, a big fight fan, and I knew the story of Emile, and I thought the backdrop of boxing could be something that would be new and fresh in the world of opera. But the story itself is a universal one, I think.
Absolutely.
And I want to say before we're out of time that you happen to have a new album out, Terrence.
Yes.
Magnetic, yeah. And it's all about positive energy, right? Right?
Well, yeah, I became a Buddhist 7 years ago, and it's all about trying to draw things in your life that are more positive and help you deal with the trials and tribulations of the day.
And Denise, any final words about your experience here? I know this is your opera theater debut.
It's been wonderful from start to finish. Every part of it. There's been a wonderful buoyancy of support from the administration all the way through the artistic department, and it's been a pleasure. It's been a real gift.
And Tim, this is the first in a 3-year cycle of premieres that you're doing, right? That are related somehow.
That's right. We're so grateful to the Whitaker Foundation in St. Louis for getting us started, and we have this wonderful grant from the Andrew W. Mellon Foundation. So we call the series of 3 world premieres in 3 years, New Works, Bold Voices, and this is the first.
So it's Terrence Blanchard's Champion. It's going to open tomorrow night. That's Saturday night, with performances on the 19th, 25th, 27th, and 30th. 8 p.m. at the Loretto Hilton. If you'd like more information, go to stlpublicradio.org to the Cityscape page, and we'll have a link to Opera Theater's website. And Terrence, you've been through a lot before, but this is so new to you. Are you a little nervous?
Nervous is not the word. But you know what? Actually, I'm not nervous now. I was nervous at the first read-through because I kept thinking, man, I hope what I wrote works. You know, but after seeing these performers, I'm just looking forward to having a great time.
That's,
I know it's
it
in
works.
Good hands.
Great. That's Terrence Blanchard. Denise Graves, nice meeting you. Welcome
nice
to town.
Thank you.
And Tim O'Leary, always good to see you.
Thank you, Steve.
Coming up next on Cityscape, the League of American Orchestras Conference. This is St. Louis Public Radio.